Welcome to another inspirational message from Elam Church, Christchurch City. For more information and great content, jump over to our website at elamchurchchristchurchcity.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
And I just want us to lean back into what was a really powerful time this morning. You know, and I do this intentionally, because what I'm speaking on this morning brings a challenge. It's something that is going to be confrontational to some people's thinking, but that's okay. It's my job to challenge us. But I want to give you the answer at the start rather than at the end of my message. The way that we enter in, battle through what I'm talking about this morning, is exactly what we did this morning. It is to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy." It is to get around people and hear testimonies of God's goodness in their life. It is to remind ourselves of who He is, what He's done, the purpose He's set before us. Because He says He's a good God. He says every good and perfect thing comes from Him. You know, and so easily we can forget that. But you know what? This is the thing, is the Bible says if we know the truth will set us free. And that is the truth this morning. God, today, as we enter your word, God, as we come around your truth, Father, would you give us eyes to see what you're saying in our lives today? Would you give us ears to hear what you would be telling us? Father, would you remind us of your goodness? God, would you show us your grace again? Lord, this morning I just lay aside any agenda, any opinion that I carry, but Father, we want your truth. God, we want you today. And we do. We sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Amen. Amen. Thank you, team. Can we thank Lee and the team this morning? You know, you won't convince me otherwise, but I am a passionate advocate for praise and worship. Why? Because things shift. Because we shift our attention from ourselves to the one who is over it all. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, good morning again, church. It is a pleasure to be sharing with you this morning. And if you're just joining us, we're at the front end of a new series called The Ten. And we're looking at the Ten Commandments that can be found in Exodus 20. Now, let me, for a moment, give you this picture. If you'd come with me back to your teenage years, for some that's more recent than others, but that's okay. And remember those moments, perhaps, where you're having a conversation with your mother or your grandmother or your dad or your granddad, and they're trying to tell you how things were when they were your age. And if you are anything like me, a prickly response was kind of given back, I believe, at one time in my lack of maturity, and forgive me for the judgment for which I'm about to receive for this. My response to my dad was, "Yes, but your day has gone, it is my day now." Not wise people. I learnt a new lesson that day. My dad is a powerful, powerful man, and he sat down. That sounds really bad. He sat down and he taught me. He taught me some beautiful, beautiful things. And what, when we come around Exodus 20, sometimes, and we're looking at it in 2023, it's almost like one of those moments. So how does this passage of scripture fit with how we live today in 2023. When we look at it, it does. It can conform. It conforms some confrontation in our mind, because when we look at the New Testament, it looks like it's stark contrast to what was given way back then. And if you'll come with me to Exodus 20, and we're going to look at verses 4-6 this morning. And this group of passages is kind of like that. Today, how does this fit for us in 2023? It says this: "You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or below the waters. You shall not bow down to them and worship them, for I am the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, punishing children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. That's some encouraging scripture this morning, isn't it? Says this, though. This is really encouraging. But showing love to a thousand generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Let me just summarize this really quickly. What he's saying is, don't worship idols. Done. The end. I can hop off now. I won't. I'll teach a little bit more. But don't worship idols. That's the real message of verses 4 to 6. But what does that look like? Well, let me kind of do a little bit of teaching and then we're going to dig into this. This passage is really, really close to the first commandment, which is given, and it says this: you shall not have any other gods before me. These 1 and 2 go really, really closely together. It's really important we hold those two in the same light. My message this morning is called this: the idols of life. The idols of life. Like I said, it can be easy when we look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus and compare them to passages in the New Testament and wonder how they coexist, right? We look at the Bible and we know that it is one story, it is one plan, it is designed from beginning to end. But there are two distinct parts, two distinct covenants. And it's easy to forget in that, well, I've sometimes found it easy to forget, that way over here in the Old Testament, and they're living under the Mosaic Covenant, those Ten Commandments, and then sometimes I've fallen in the trap to think that there's a gap and a distance between over here and grace through Jesus Christ. And it's almost like me looking back in my ignorant teenage years going, but yes, that was your day, that's not mine anymore. But the truth is that what happened back here made a way for what happened here to happen. It's incredibly important. Let me say this. Grace was never plan B. I want you to hear that. Grace was never plan B. God wasn't sitting down over here as the author and perfecter of life going, well, I'll give these guys the law, and if they screw that up, then I'll give them Jesus to make sure they really have a way. No, grace was always the way. Grace was always the way. Rather, the commandments were given in the context of grace. God's gracious selection of the nation of Israel to be his people. Why? To represent his character, his kingdom, and his goodness to the rest of the world, to the nations around them. That is what the Ten Commandments are about. God was never in a way to say, if they live like this perfectly, then they can be in relationship with me. Let me tell you a secret. Relationship with God was always done through sacrifice. It was always sacrifice, because along with the law went sacrifice. It was through the priests. And they had to atone their nation, to atone their people when they had fallen short of the instruction of God. That sin, we still do that today. Way down over here, though, we have grace. And it's Jesus that came as the high priest to be that sacrifice, so that whoever followed on from him could stand under that atonement. Do we understand where the Ten Commandments kind of fit now? It's not failure and then plan B. There was always one plan. The Ten Commandments sit under the banner of grace. Is why Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, if this pops up on the screens behind you, it says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He said, I'm not getting rid of what happened down here. But what I am doing is I am making a way that we wouldn't have to make continual sacrifice, because I will be that sacrifice. I'll fulfill the need that we had here. But they're not done away with. Why? Because we are called to live different. Our lives are supposed to look different. That's the fulfillment of the law. And to me, when I think about this, all of a sudden these big ten, these things, these famous passages and instructions and the Christian walk, all of a sudden become so much more relevant than a teenage me looking back here in immaturity going, yeah, but that was relevant to them back then. I'm life's different now. Yeah, it is. The context is different. but the message is the same. The context of what was happening here was different, and how it was written and the imagery that was used and the instructions that were given there were for a specific people, but the purpose of it still remains today. So here's the question: how do we take a passage like Exodus 24 to 6, talking about making images of gods to worship, how does that fit for us over here in 2023? I'm going to do this amazing thing. To answer the question, I'm going to ask two more questions. Bear with me, we will have answers, people. First one is this, real simple. What is an idol? What is an idol? It's kind of not common language for us today, but I'll put it like this. An idol is anything that we look to more than God for our sense of acceptability, joy, significance, hope, security. Something that we serve and rely on in our hearts above God. That is idolatry. In the context of Exodus and how it was written, it was common for them to literally cast things with images and faces that they would then worship. That's the context. That's why he says, don't make images and bow down and worship them. The ironic thing is, while Moses was up in the mountain receiving these instructions, the chosen people of God were literally at the bottom of the mountain going, let's make an idol. And he comes back down from the mountain, and there he is. They've made a golden calf. You can read about it in Exodus 32. For us, idols look different, though. Sometimes idols can be good things. I'm not talking about in a way where idols can only evil, but sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's achievement, sometimes it's career, sometimes it's romance, and so on. The issue comes when we allow those things to build up and become higher than the place of God in our own hearts. When we seek attention and whatever it is that we need to satisfy our inward things, when we allow other things to take the place of God, who says he's the lover of our soul, that in him every promise is yes and amen. And then we start to look to these other things and we say, well, that will fulfill that need. Church, that is idolatry. That is what it looks like today. Idols take the place that God should rightly hold in our heart. So how do we relate to this passage today and this command? Well, I was thinking about this and praying on this last night, and I just felt God drop this into my spirit, and he said, you know, for many believers today, this is a call back to our first love. When we read a passage like this, it's like a call back to our first love. So we've become distracted by these things. We've allowed these things to occupy the space in our mind and our heart. And God's actually saying, no, when you read this, I'm not so much talking about the golden calf that you may or may not have in your house. But what I am saying is the things that occupy the attention of your heart, where I should rightfully be in a place of worship, is what I'm talking about today. I want us to come back to our first love, to remember the goodness of God, that he would be restored to that place of ultimate value in our hearts. That's why this morning was so important. That's why every Sunday we come and we worship and we praise God and we sing those songs and we declare those promises. And it's easy to do on a Sunday, but what does Monday through Saturday look like for us? Doesn't look like a church service. It's beautiful coming together, but how do we walk faithfully and humbly with our God through Monday to Saturday? Not using Sunday as our one day a week that we get charged up and pray that it's enough to go through the rest of the week. That's not the point of church. Where does that sit today? The rest of our time this morning, I want to look at three things that can easily become idols for us in 2023. And I want to put them in perspective with faith and with hope that comes from the Word of God. Because like I said earlier, when we know the truth will set us free. I believe there is no other way that we can enter into this place, restore God to his rightful place in our lives without actually having an encounter with him. Without actually journeying with him, without actually putting ourselves in a position to say, God, I need you. Is that all right this morning? First one this morning is this. It's the idol of money. Oh, that's an easy one. 90% of you would have guessed this was in my message this morning. Money is a massive idol in our culture. Our bank balance can easily become our security or our insecurity. We base our value and our confidence in how much is sitting in our bank account. Guilty. We become extremely anxious when our bank account is dependent. This in itself exposes the idolatry lurking in our heart. Why? Because Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, prayer and petition, present your request to God. See, when we allow idolatry to overcome, money to overcome our heart and our mind, we have then put money at a higher pedestal in our heart. Whether because we have a lot or whether because we're worried we don't have enough. But our trust has then gone on money, not God, the one who said that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Money is a funny one because on one hand it can give us absolute anxiety, and then on the other hand it can give us so much confidence. It's a weird thing. But my point for that in that scale is money is not consistent. Psalm 62 says this, do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Luke 16:13, we know this one. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. Jesus says this, you cannot serve both God and money. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. The Bible is so clear when it comes to money, right? It's not trustworthy. It's not consistent. It's not eternal. It's so funny that we, with an internal understanding, we know the passages. We know that it's not going to come with us, but we still allow our minds to become all consumed with this thing. It's a society issue. It's not telling anyone off this morning. Like I said, I'm right in this camp too. Right in this camp too. But Jesus says this in Matthew 6:19-21, do not store up yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why can't we serve both God and money? Because where our treasure is, there our heart will be. There's only one. So my question is, where's your treasure this morning? Is it on your bank balance or is it on God? The pursuit of money is a cruel and it is a prevalent idol in 2023. But God says this, seek my kingdom. Seek my righteousness. Trust me, and all this will be added to you. Church, he knows your needs. He knows you. But will you trust him to faithfully provide? Will you trust him to be Jehovah Jireh in your life? That is our command for us today. Second idol that we often come across is this. It's the idol of others. Idolization of others. We all know that saying. It was so common when I was youth. It's probably old now because I'm feeling old. But it was this, is you're my idol. We'd run around school and be like, Ben, you're my idol. You're my hero. What a dangerous, dangerous position that is. See, it might not be commonplace for us to make physical images out of metal anymore, particularly in our Western world, but we certainly do idolize people in a similar way. I'm not going to speak to it too much because I'm going to move on from this particular point quickly, but just look at our celebrity fanfare. What's our Instagram and TikTok and Facebook reels filled of? And I don't say this to sound old. Again, I'm in the same camp. But we idolize people. We idolize their gifts. We idolize the influence and the sphere that they have. And we sit there and we go, man, if only I was in that position. If you're anything like me, this also ties into point number one and go, man, if I only had that much money. Idols aren't always the obvious and ungodly things either, right? Things God has blessed our lives with can actually become idols too. This is a scary one. This is a real scary one. And they become idols for us when we place more value on the gift than we do the giver. It's not to say that we don't love others like our family. It's not to say that we don't have a heart that's filled for our spouse, our children, our friends. We know the call of God is to love others. Why? Because he first loved us. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but people are going to let you down. We're not trustworthy. We're not consistent. We're not. It's a dangerous thing to idolize people. Why? Because they're going to let us down. But God, on the other hand, says he's faithful. If you understand where I'm going with this already, what I'm trying to point out to us is there are things that we place so much value on that are often going to gain us very little in the scheme of eternity because they are not faithful, they're not consistent, they're not trustworthy. It doesn't mean they're necessarily bad. But the issue comes when we place so much value on them that we forget who the author and perfecter, the creator of them is. Isn't that ironic that we put so much more value on people when we forget the very being that made them? Psalm 118, 8 to 9 says this: it is better to take refuge in the Lord than it is to trust humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord to trust princes. Jesus gives us his followers a new command in John 13, 34. We'll go there quickly. It says this: a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Here's the thing: how can we truly love those around us if we don't understand how Jesus first loved us? There's a priority thing happening there. The lover of our soul has to take place number one. Why? As a result, through that, we can start to understand how he sees us, how he sees other people. And from that place, we can begin to love as Christ loved us. That is our command. Don't allow the blessings of God, the people he's placed around you, to become idols. Don't forget the giver of the gift. Come back to your first love. Third one is this, and I'll ask the team to come and join me if that's okay. Third idol I'm going to talk to this morning is the idol of self. The idol of self. Many of us will know the saying, follow your heart, follow your heart. It sounds like great and encouraging advice, doesn't it? Often it's said by well-meaning people who you've gone to seek advice. It's often extended as a thing of support. As I've aged, I'm not that old, and matured, I've learned that this is some of the worst advice someone could ever give me, is to follow my heart. Why? Because my heart is treacherous. I swear my heart's out to betray me. One day my heart's happy and I'm filled with joy. Someone says something, it makes me sad. The next day my heart's angry and I'm out for revenge. And someone is telling me to follow my heart. No. No. Jeremiah 17:9 says this: the heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? The idea of following your heart is an idol of life today, because what we are essentially saying is, God, it doesn't matter what you think because I've got it sorted. I know better. I'm going to follow my heart. But catch this, the command of Jesus was come follow me, not follow your heart. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's why Jesus left us the Holy Spirit. Love what Nu was talking about the Holy Spirit and his role this morning. He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's here as a guide. John 16, 13 says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's the name of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. See, the following the heart is so dangerous because the work of Christ is what to transform our heart. It's to transform our heart that we could see who he is, that we could capture a glimpse again of who he is, that we could walk and understand the goodness of him. That's Romans 12. It's a call to come back to our first love. You know, these are the idols that we face in 2023, and it may not look like a golden calf like it did in Exodus, but the mindset and the heart and the idolatry is still prevalent today. But I want to come back to this, and I'll circle right back. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians. He says, therefore, my friends, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. How do we do that? Well, we worship. We get into the truth. We position ourselves around people who are going to encourage us in the goodness and the truth and the consistency and the faithfulness of who God is. Right across this place, would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to pray in a moment before I hand back to Pastor Nu. But I want to leave us with this. Idolatry begins when we lose sight of Christ. So this morning, on the beautiful time of worship, on the truth of God, I want to offer you a moment to just regain for yourself the sight of Christ. Who is he for you today?
Welcome to another inspirational message from Elam Church, Christchurch City. For more information and great content, jump over to our website at elamchurchchristchurchcity.org. We hope you enjoy this message.